I appreciate the 16 members that got together and started the congregation. And I appreciate each one who's been a part of it since then. You notice even today some of our newer members are involved and lead us in worship, and we appreciate that. Wednesday I visited the Campbells, and about the first thing that Yvonne said when I went in was, "Will you take our check to the church?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, let me go check and see how many weeks we're behind." And so she made out a check, and I dropped it in for her this morning. And I was just thinking about that attitude. They're not able to be here, but they were sold on the work and continue to be sold on it. And I like that statement. I was checking to see how many weeks I was behind. And we appreciate that attitude. I appreciate the announcement this morning, Terry, and congratulations to all of you. I find myself perhaps needing to pray that God will select certain genes a little bit more prominently than he does other genes. And Ryan, I don't have anything in mind particularly on that. But congratulations. And as you mentioned that Philly was the first and only young person for a while, I thought of something else that perhaps needs to be said. From that, you went to a point at one time, back some time ago, you had several young people in the congregation, didn't you? And now we don't have a lot. We're thankful for the two Johnsons and the two Scotts and a friend that comes with them. And occasionally we have some others. But if you could go from one young person back at the time Terry and them started the church to where you grew and had several others, can we not take what we have today and grow to have several others sometime in the future? So let's not be discouraged. There are things sometimes that do discourage us, and I don't understand people. Art Linkletter said people are funnier than anybody, and I think he was right. But with God's help, we can accomplish a great deal. And let's do everything we can along that line. And I want to share something else with you that's just for your information. You mentioned that tonight's lesson will make 100, John, that we put on that. I have at home on cassette tape over 25 years of my sermons. I started taping them almost 8 years before I left Tullahoma, and taped them during the almost 18 years that I preached at Henderson. I don't know how long cassette tapes will work, and one of these days I'm going to have to try to sit down and decide if I want to do anything with them. But I have a record where I can go back and find a certain subject if I want to. And you realize that that's a lot of preaching. I have 25 years, approximately. There may be a miss here and there, but approximately 25 years on tape. Now, what I'm going to do is, if I get sick or feeble, I'm just going to bring you some of those tapes and you can play them. But you know, if I do that, what you will do, you'll send your recorder to record it and you won't come either. So that's not the way that we want to go. This morning, I am beginning a series of lessons that I anticipate will last through the rest of the year on Sunday mornings. The theme is written in red. I developed this series of lessons several years ago and have worked on them from time to time, sometimes use some of them in meetings. The reason I developed it was there was a time about 8 or 10 years ago, and I still hear this to some extent, that we had some people in the church who were saying that what Jesus said is more important than what others said in the Bible. That we need to take what Jesus said and let that stand above what everybody else said. Well, I don't believe that. I believe all of the Bible is God's Word. And I can even show you that Jesus placed his approval on the apostles. For example, he said in John 14:26, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So Jesus said himself that what he had taught the apostles and others and that they would teach was also God's word and was the truth. In two chapters after that, 16:13, he said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So Jesus placed his approval on people like Peter and Paul and others who wrote the New Testament. And we cannot conclude that what Jesus said is more important than what Paul and Peter said. However, I attempted to approach this from the standpoint, suppose we only had what Jesus said. And we didn't have anything else in the Bible except Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there is one quote in the book of Acts that's in red. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And technically, the majority of the book of Revelation ought to be in red, although it is not, because it is the words of Jesus through John, isn't it? But if we only took Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I believe we could determine the basic truths of God's word on most subjects. And that's what I want to do for the rest of the year, is to show you that. And one reason that I'm not concerned about it drawing out over a period of time is the subjects are going to be varied. We'll have a lesson on Jesus, what Jesus said about the government, for example. We'll have one on what he said about the home, what he said about denominationalism or the oneness of the church, what he said about premillennialism, what he said about peace. We'll have a variety of lessons, but we will only use that which is in red, or on some occasions a statement that's in black that is telling us that Jesus did say this, simply to give the foundation for what he said. When Luke began the book of Acts, he said in the first chapter, "The former treatise have I written unto thee, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." Now he evidently is referring to the gospel according to Luke, because Luke wrote that gospel and he also wrote the book of Acts. And so he says, "This former treatise, this book according to Luke, the gospel according to Luke, I have written of what Jesus began both to do and teach." Now the 21st chapter of John says that if we had everything that Jesus did and taught, we'd have so many books that we couldn't even handle them, is the idea that's there. But the 20th chapter, verses 30 and 31 say, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." And that's referring to the gospel according to John. Then he says, "But these were written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life through his name." That's my theme text for the rest of the year. These are written. What is written about Jesus and what he said? These are written that you might have life, that you might be the Son of God. He said that this is going to provide you with what you need. And that's the theme I'm presenting. That if we only look at that which is in red, we can teach the basic ideas of the Bible. I'm beginning today with the subject of truth. I think that's a good place to begin. And if you follow along with me or make notes, you'll notice that all of these scriptures are written in red. How many of you have a Bible that has the red letter edition? Okay, if you have one at home, and you probably do, you might want to bring it during the next few months on Sunday mornings, because it helps when you open a passage to be able to see what is in red. There is a lot said today about the subject of truth. Some people say you cannot really know what the truth is. Others will say that everything is relative. Now, many things are relative, but not everything. To show you how many things are relative, the turtle ran over the snail. And they were interviewing the snail and asked him to describe what happened, and he said, "I don't know, it happened so fast." Well, that's relative, isn't it, from the snail's standpoint? And many things are relative to certain things, but not the subject of truth. Truth is truth. And when the truth is told, that's the truth. Now, you and I may alter it one way or the other, but truth is truth. Back in the 1960s, when I was preaching at Carthage, I heard a statement one morning at the hardware store that stuck with me, and it was this: tell the truth, and you do not have to keep a record. Now, I'm pretty big on records. I mentioned a moment ago the 25 years of preaching. I have records of every subject that I've moved, that I've used in every meeting, a record of every funeral and every wedding. I have a record of most of the, at least for the last 35 years, a record of every sermon that I've preached in local work. And I keep those, they're very beneficial to me. But if you tell the truth about something, you really don't need to be to keep a record. If you ask me today how old I am and I tell you the truth, then I don't have to get in the car after a while and say, what did I tell them when they asked me how old I was? But if you ask me how old I am and I change it, then I probably need to ask myself pretty soon, how many years did I take off? Or I started to say, how many would I add? But I'm not going to add any. How many did I take off? I'd need to keep a record of that. Tell the truth. The truth will stand. It's the truth today. It'll be the truth tomorrow. Truth doesn't change. Now, facts may change, and the situation may become something else, but truth is truth. Well, let's just look at what's written in red on that. First of all, Jesus says truth exists. That's what I've been saying. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Truth exists. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy truth exists. Thy word is truth. Jesus believed that something was the truth, the word of God. He believed that truth existed. He also taught that truth can be known. Sometimes people, especially in the scientific area, will say, well, we really can't know the truth. And you get into philosophy especially. There was a teacher at Tennessee Tech a few years ago that made a statement in the class, you cannot be sure about anything. And the wife of one of our preachers was in that class, and she raised up her hand, and he recognized her, and she said, are you sure? You cannot be sure about anything, and she asked him if he is sure of that. Well, that shows the ridiculous statement that was made. Truth can be known. And most of you in here this morning can quote this next verse, John 8:32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is not written in red, but if you want an interesting study sometimes, take the little book of 1 John, which has 5 chapters, and go through it and underline the word know, K-N-O-W, every time it's in that book. It's amazing how many times that word is in that little 5-chapter book, which means that others other than Jesus taught the same thing. But Jesus said, you can know the truth. I believe that as much as I believe I'm standing before you today. Now, there may be some truths in the Bible that you and I don't know because we haven't studied. And even when we've studied for years and years, there's still something to learn. I don't know everything about the Bible, and neither do you. But I could know everything. If I were capable with my intellect, I could know everything that's in the Bible that's been revealed. You can know what the truth is. I believe we can know what the truth is as far as scientific approach is concerned. Now, in many instances, we don't know all the truth because the word theory means that we think that's what it is. That means it has not been proven. And about 96 or 97% of all that you hear in the scientific area that's being reported is in the area of theory. It hasn't been proven yet. And I might just point out in passing, you remember what Darwin's presentation was? The theory of evolution. Did you ever really stop to think about what that's saying? The theory of evolution. But Jesus said, you can know the truth. He also said that the truth last. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth me not and rejecteth me, hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Here's two verses that Jesus was talking. It's in red. And he said the truth is going to last. When you and I get to the day of judgment, the books will be opened as recorded in Revelation. We'll be judged out of those things written in the books. That's what Jesus was referring to. Heaven and earth shall pass away. One of these days, everything here is going to be gone. But my word shall not pass away, even if you could take the Bible and burn it. And by a stretch of imagination, you could burn every copy of the Bible that's in the world. And it'd be more difficult today because it's on computer. But if you could destroy every copy, every written copy of the Bible in the world, you still have not destroyed the truth. God's message is still there. And if nobody ever again in the future opened a Bible and read what's written in red, it's still there. Truth is going to last. And that's what Jesus said. He also pointed out in more ways than one that the truth is to be our guide. Back to John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What will guide us to freedom? The truth. John 17:20 said that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. He's saying there, is he not, that the truth is going to produce faith. And if we went to other parts of the Bible, we know there are other verses that teach that. But remember, this is just written in red. Jesus taught that. That the truth will produce faith. You remember when he said in answering the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, the truth is what you need to have a guide for living. And in John 4, he said, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he says, the truth is to guide you in producing your faith. It will guide you in being free. It will tell you how to live, and it will tell you how to worship. All of this is teaching from Jesus. Jesus also emphasized in these words that are written in red that he himself preached the truth. For example, in Luke 9:27, he said, I tell you the truth. Some of you standing here shall not taste of death till you see the kingdom come. Well, there seems to have been times when he wanted to really emphasize what he was saying. He didn't just teach them what the fact was here. He said, I tell you the truth. I had an aunt that half the time she'd tell you something, before she'd tell you, she'd say, now I'm telling you the truth. And some other times she'd say, well, now this came straight. You ever had anybody say this? In other words, I want you to know this is the truth. Well, if we teach the truth, we ought not to have to emphasize it. Let your words be yea, yea, and nay, nay, you remember. And just saying something, if we're what we ought to be, that ought to be enough to say. But Jesus on some occasions said, I tell you the truth. In John 8:40 and 45, he said, I have told you the truth. He refers one time to what he's telling them at that point, on another occasion to what he's told them in the past, and in both instances he calls it the truth. And when he's asked if he's the king, In John 18:37, he answers that he is, and he said, "I came to bear witness of the truth." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I told you the truth, and I bear witness of the truth." He said that what he preached was the truth. He also used the truth to prove his deity. If you go to John, the 5th chapter, and begin at verse 31, Jesus said, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." In other words, just one witness wouldn't be another. "There is another that bears witness of me." He mentions John. And then he says, "My works bear witness of me," in verse 36. "My Father bears witness of me," in verse 37. And then in verse 9, he says, "Search the Scriptures. They bear witness of me." And over in the 15th chapter of the book of John, right at the end of the chapter, he says, "The Comforter," that's identified as the Holy Spirit in 14:26, "The Comforter will come, he shall testify of me." And then he said, "And ye," that's the apostles, "shall bear witness of me." All of that's written in red. Jesus gave at least 7 witnesses: himself, John, his works, the Father, the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, and the apostles, that he is the Son of God. Now suppose you're trying to teach somebody that Jesus is the Son of God, and you don't have anything except what's written in red. There's 7 witnesses where he's using the truth to teach his deity. And if you didn't have anything else but that, you remember at the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, something is established, and here's 7 at least that he gives, that he is the Son of God. I think it is also interesting to note that Jesus quoted the truth when he was facing the temptations of the devil. Devil said, "Turn these stones to bread." Jesus went back and quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. "Man shall not live by bread alone." Well, get up on the edge of the pinnacle of the temple and jump off and let the angels bear you up. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6:16, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." "Well, look at all these lands, and I'll give them all to you." Jesus quoted the 6th chapter and verse 13 of Deuteronomy when he said that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, or that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God really, and him only shalt thou serve. In each of these occasions where Jesus was tempted by the devil, he went back and quoted the truth of the Old Testament, quoted God's word, God's message, the Scriptures that we noticed a moment ago that he said prove that he's the Son of God. He quoted those Scriptures to answer the devil when he was tempted. Now, look at what we have said this morning on the subject of the truth. And we haven't gone anywhere except in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we haven't used anything there except what's written in red. Truth exists, truth can be known, truth lasts, truth is our guide, truth is what Jesus preached, it's what he used to prove his divinity, and it's what he used to answer the devil. So you see the idea that's involved in this? Just take a subject, and if you don't look at anything except what Jesus said, you can still develop a basic knowledge of what is right from what Jesus himself said. And this morning we're talking about the truth. Jesus emphasized the truth. And he wants us to believe the truth and to obey the commandments of the truth and receive the promises that are given by the truth. If you believe the divinity of Christ, as we've shown with 7 witnesses even this morning, and you're willing to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins according to what Jesus has said, and we'll show in another lesson how he taught on the plan of salvation, then he will forgive you of your sins. And if you've done that and you haven't lived as you should, even Jesus taught the need of straightening things out and making them right to be able to worship God. If you need to do that, it's taught in that which is written in red. So according to the invitation that Jesus himself gives, "Come unto me all ye that labor," and that's in red, You have the invitation to come to him if you need to, as together we stand and sing.
And at the cross where the Savior died, and where from cleanse and from sin I cried, there to my heart was a blood of pride. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was a blood of pride. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within, there at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart pours a blood of glory to his name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. There to my heart was a blood of blood. Glory.